We now have food surplus since last season. And I have no doubt with the model of agriculture we have introduced now, we should be able to produce enough grain for ourselves, whether there's drought and there's no drought, because we have created water bodies throughout the country, and with support from Spain, support from Brazil, support from Belarus, we are bringing lots of irrigation equipment.
The irrigation systems mentioned by the president have hardly made a dent in addressing food insecurity, as they are expensive and end up with those who can afford them or have access to financing, luxuries that the poor food insecure cannot afford. Currently, less than 10% of Zimbabwe's agricultural land is under irrigation. However, Professor Krasposi Kujinga of WaterNet, a regional network of university departments and research and training institutions specializing in water, reckons irrigation is a viable option.
Not only do we have dams, but we have also groundwater resources. We should utilize these groundwater resources for both domestic and productive purposes, and try and move away from relying on rainwater. It's actually risky to rely on rainwater, but if we go for irrigation that is efficient, you know, and effective, we will produce more food.
Since Mnangagwa's 2018 statement, Zimbabwe only harvested enough maize to feed itself for the first time in 37 years during the 2020-2021 agricultural season. And that was thanks to the government's adaptation of a conservation, climate-proof agriculture system that promotes minimum mechanical soil disturbance, maintenance of soil organic cover, and use of crop rotations. Matthew Mbanga is the CEO of Foundations for Farming, a not-for-profit that designed the system.
Climate change is a reality. It's something that we're facing. We've seen the rainfall start a month late. But we don't plant for the rain, we plant for the heat units of the sun. If you have mulch in place, whatever rainfall does fall in that time will be captured, will be locked in. And that's the key. That's why the system works. It's small, it's manageable, it's applicable, and the results are long-lasting.
The system does work, but some small-scale farmers are so poor they cannot afford the seed and other inputs to start. Every year, the government hands out inputs to these vulnerable farmers. Justina Mukoko, the director of the Zimbabwe Peace Project, a human rights organization that monitors and documents politically motivated human rights violations in Zimbabwe, says the handouts paid for by the taxpayer are sometimes politicized.
When food is being distributed, even starting with agricultural inputs that are actually funded by the fiscus, I think the knowledge around that would mean that that's meant for all citizens, regardless. But when it then goes to communities, you will find that those who are known as being politically incorrect and those who are also perceived, at times they might not even belong to that political party that people hate so much, but they are perceived to belong. They are discriminated against and they do not access food and other aid.
She added the problem may be even worse this year as the country heads into elections. The government has consistently denied party-based favoritism in humanitarian aid. Over the years, the government has persuaded farmers who benefit from the input scheme in low rainfall areas to grow drought-tolerant small grains such as sorghum and millet instead of the thirsty maize. But the beneficiaries have been less than enthusiastic to switch. However, this year the government will give them a nudge by handing out a predominantly small grains seed pack. Foundations for Farming's Mbanga is a huge fan of the small traditional grains.
We underestimate the power of a sorghum and, you know, these traditional grains that are just packed with nutrients. You know, the reason that we are failing is that we're persisting with a crop that is not actually suited to most of the country. And so if you're in a dry, low-lying, low-rainfall area, stop trying to grow corn. Grow what is designed, what's natural to that area.
But growing these or any crops needs conditions which droughts and floods are regularly disrupting. Besides destroying crops and washing away farmlands, floods and cyclones also damage homes, property and infrastructure, and kill people. I asked Professor Kujinga how prepared he thinks the government is to deal with the disasters.
We are not really prepared in terms of forecasting some of these events. We need technologies which can warn us early enough that a drought is coming, a flood is coming. How do you then prepare for these events? You set aside the appropriate resources for dealing with these situations. But also, more importantly, our infrastructure should also be climate resilient, especially against floods.
The government now has a rapid response team on standby to evacuate those threatened by flooding when storms hit. Zimbabwe Peace Project's Justina Mukoko.
There was a time when there was a warning in terms of probably floods coming to the eastern part of the country. We saw the civil protection unit rolling out and getting people out of the way.
The authorities are also urging people in areas prone to flooding to relocate to higher ground and build houses that can withstand the storms. Saving lives is the first step in responding to climate crisis-fueled disasters. But long-term plans to reduce vulnerability, what activists, climate scientists, and policymakers call mitigation and adaptation, will require a much greater investment of resources. Where those funds can be found and whether investing them effectively can prevent more displacement will help determine whether Zimbabwe can avert widespread hunger and avoid scarcity-related conflict. For AllAfrica.com, I am Ishma Fundikwa in Harare.